You're listening to a podcast from 702.
The Worldview with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
It is, of course, time to chat to Adam Gilchrist. And every day on the Emirates Worldview, we ask you to send us a question. So don't forget to do that. You can do so via Twitter. You can send it on the WhatsApp line. You can send us a question on any world topic you want to know more about. We'll find an expert and we'll try to get you an answer. One of the questions that's come through, for example, and I'll see if the producers will bite this one. Why are test matches, this is about cricket, why are test matches played over 5 days? Is it because 5 days are reasonable enough for two teams to bat for two innings or to bowl each other out, or a test of mental strength for each team? That's a question around cricket. I'm sure in the coming days that we may pick that one up and try to answer it. I suppose one of the things that's interesting about how all of these sports really play themselves out over a period of time, gosh, that's an unfortunate mix of metaphors there, play themselves out, sports. But anyway, let's not go there. The language fundies are going to be all over my case. It's quite interesting to see how these various codes develop over time. The other day, Tsekho, we were answering a question around why people wear all whites, for example, when it comes to Wimbledon.
Yes.
And the answer that was very interesting was that when the game started, it was seen as an upper class game, and things like sweating and, you know, smelling were all seeming, were perceived as unsightly. People of that class were not people who were to be seen in that way. And so the idea was that if you wear all whites, then you were to be always pristine and clean at the same time. And stop it. And over time, of course, the sport has developed and changed. And Wimbledon is about the only Grand Slam that is still played all in whites these days. So very similarly, then, that question about the cricket is one we're going to be answering in the coming days. In fact, today we'll do things a little bit the other way around. Let's start with our question. When it comes to donating blood, why is it that people who belong to some blood groups can donate blood to people from other blood groups, and yet people from those other blood groups cannot donate blood to them, if you understand what I mean? Sandy Lenduli wants to know that. Hashtag Emirates Worldview. To get to the answer, we spoke to Silungile Mlambo, spokesperson at the South African National Blood Service.
The O blood group can only get blood from the O group because type O has neither A nor B antigens on its red blood cells, but both A and B antibodies in its plasma. So those with type O blood can only receive this type in transfusions, since the plasma and the antibodies would attack anything else. However, those with type O can donate to anyone, since type O is free from all immune system antagonizing antigen.
All right, congratulations then to Sandy Lentuli for having your Emirates Worldview question answered. You've won R1,000 courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates, hello tomorrow. We do have Adam Gilchrist on the line. Good morning to you, Adam. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Good
as
morning.
Always. Now, heated exchanges around Russia, of course, led by none other than good old Boris.
Boris Johnson, he's had a go. But I have to say, a remarkable escalation of the whole rhetoric surrounding the Salisbury spy poisoning. So on the one hand, Moscow has accused the United Kingdom of Russophobia, of being an island with an island mentality, which I think is something that a lot of countries have accused us of before. The Kremlin line is that Britain is hiding facts and destroying evidence and has either failed to prevent or actually orchestrated the nerve agent attack. On the other hand, there is dear old Boris, the UK Foreign Secretary, who's questioning how safe it will be for football fans at the World Cup in Russia, in particular for England football fans.
Wow.
He suggests that Vladimir Putin also wants to use the World Cup in the same way that Adolf Hitler used the 1936 Olympics in Berlin. So essentially, I suppose he's suggesting the giant PR exercise, and for goodness sake, didn't Vladimir Putin use the Sochi Winter Olympics to do that, and Beijing the Summer Olympics in 2008, and arguably Los Angeles 1984, London 2012? It was a good marketing. Never mind the World Cup in South Africa. Wasn't that a good... I mean, aren't they always used for PR purposes. But to compare Vladimir Putin to Adolf Hitler, I think might be going a bit far, don't you think?
Yeah, but it is Boris Johnson, as you say. Now, of course,
it is Boris Johnson.
We can make light of it, I suppose, and dismiss Johnson. But it's not so light for Viktor Makarov, the ex-KGB agent who's afraid and fearing for his life.
Yeah, he's spoken out from his hideout. Well, I say hideout, I mean, we all know where he is. But to some extent, it's hiding in plain sight. It's that thing. He's in a sleepy English town up in the northeast of England, in Northumberland. And Viktor Makarov has suggested that, you know, he fears for his own life. He fears that Russian assassins could be after him next. He says Russia poses a bigger threat than Islamic extremism. He's urged tougher action against Vladimir Putin from all countries, but Theresa May in particular. As Comrade Makarov says, Russia is getting more and more aggressive and they're capable of anything. This from a guy who lives in Haltwhistle, population 4,000. There's a railway station and a hotel and not terribly many police around. But he reckons that to some extent he counters his own fears by living in a tiny place where people close ranks and would notice strangers. So to that extent, although he fears for his life, he also reckons he's in one of the safer parts of the world. Let's hope so.
For his sake, indeed. French election funding, a former president being investigated. That's something we know nothing about in this country.
It's never happened, has it, to presidents or former presidents? No, but Nicolas Sarkozy has been placed under formal investigation. Allegations have come out from members of Gaddafi's regime, or once upon a time they were members of that regime, and they have suggested some illicit campaign financing, some misappropriation of Libyan public funds. That's why they're doing it from the Libyan perspective, and also what the French call passive corruption. This all goes back to 2007 and Nicolas Sarkozy's presidential campaign. He has absolutely denied any wrongdoing, by the way. But 2007 is a really interesting watershed, because while we've got these charges, therefore, about the French campaign and the financing of it, it's also the year that famously Tony Blair met Colonel Gaddafi in a tent and shook hands, and there was all that idea that, oh, finally, Libya is no longer the international pariah. And yet, 4 years later, Libya was being bombed, Colonel Gaddafi being ousted, and everything had turned. Timing is everything when it comes to these things, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Connect the dots. Passive, what is it? Passive?
Passive corruption.
Passive corruption.
It's the idea that
you've
committed something that's corrupt, but maybe you did it inadvertently. I suppose it's the difference between manslaughter and murder, maybe.
Yeah, something that maybe we might like to hear about in the coming months. Adam Gilchrist on the line from London.
If you have a burning question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072 702 1702 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on 702.co.za.
Pardon me, have I gone over my time?
No, ma'am, but we can hear you from the cockpit.
Experience a shower spa so refreshing, you'll think you're at home. Only on the Emirates A380 First Class. To book or find out more, visit emirates.com/ZA. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.